never even let that father call. Just knew that God would grab him. That's what I'm doing.
Amen, brother.
Gotcha.
The last time that I was where I'm at right now, after the service, a guy came to me. And when God had told me just to leave all that studying alone, it was 4:29 a.m. How many of you have a time with God? You know, that little fella that was in the temple, and he woke up and he went to the priest. God shows us, even in the book of Genesis, that he's reaching out to us. In Genesis, Adam and Eve sin, and we know sin is just falling short of God's righteous standard. We do it by the things we do, we sin. We do it by the things we don't do. And I think it was little Samuel that just said, "Here I am, Lord." He didn't do like Adam did. Adam tried to hide. And what really has been a struggle for me for a long time was to wrap my mind around this fact that a perfect man in relationship with God would choose not to serve God. Going to seminary, can't figure it out. I read books on it. I've studied it. Why would Adam, who's been made by God, see all this creation made by God, be so stupid? How could a perfect man make such a dumb decision? I can get it why Mike Mitchell would make a dumb decision. I couldn't grasp why someone who knows God would choose not to worship God with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, all of his strength, and not realize that if God made one Eve, he could make another. I couldn't wrap my mind around why this guy that is in heaven is a spiritual creature, and he's leading the choir. Part of pastoring me hasn't dealt with choir directors kind of gets. I bet you that alone. But why would this guy in the presence of God want to be like God? How can the creation think it's great or greater than the creator? It's a head scratcher. And yet, I got it that many times in my life, I read the word, don't do this. I've seen people doing things, and then I go right behind them and do the same dumb thing. And it's easy for me to say, well, you know, I'm sinful. And things were going good. I mean, I'm with this person for 20-some years. We don't argue. Which I learned it wasn't healthy behavior. You really shouldn't go 20 years and not disagree. Something kind of wrong. So I started thinking about God in relational terms. Are you with me so far? In social studies, I was taught that Christianity is a religion.
Amen.
It is an intimate, day-by-day, minute-by-minute, decision-by-decision relationship with God.
Amen.
And there's nothing that goes on in your life that He's not intimately interested in. What I had to do, because I was sitting in the class of life with my teachers telling me I had the ability to be a straight-A student, but I was about flunking out. I was frustrated. I didn't know if I was dyslexic or what my problems were. I had gone to psychiatrists. I always tell someone to be willing to confess your sins, like it says in James. Be willing to go and talk about things to somebody. It's nothing wrong with realizing that I'm in a rut and I don't know how to get out.
Amen.
God has people that He has anointed that can help you quit going round and around and doing. Was to share with you about the four loves in the New Testament, the four Greek words for love. The first one is storge. Storge is family love. And what I've learned in my life, and I have seen in other people's life, that I came to a realization that I had a messed up relationship with God, and God is perfect, and so that means that the problem is me. See, we can be in relationship with a husband or a wife or a co-worker or a mother or a grandmother or somebody, and we can look at an issue in their life and say, well, they're the problem. But that don't, there's something wrong with you.
Amen. Preach it.
And it might have just started in your family life. See, storge love, people outside of your family. We call those friendships. I don't know about you, but I've been in that place where it's late in the midnight hour. There's no one to call. I wasn't winning friends. I was alienating people. And the Bible says in Proverbs that when you're isolated, or when you isolate yourself, you will break against all practical wisdom.
Amen.
Real love. Now, I'm going to use my father. I'm going to embarrass him and give you an example of real love. When I was a little boy growing up in church, the choir stand was up over the pulpit at Lindsay Street Baptist Church. And I remember one Sunday, my father and my mother were up in the choir stand, and my grandfather was a deacon. And when I was a little boy, I wanted to be an airplane pilot. Oh, that's all I could think about, was flying high in the friendly sky. And I was up there in church just flying my airplane, ignoring Pastor Alexander and everybody else. Typical Michael in his own world. And all of a sudden, it was like I was just lifted up by the hands of God and carried out the church. He don't look that big to me now. But that little book right there just snatched me up. And my feet never touched the ground. I mean, all the half a mile to my grandmother's house. By the time he got me up this hill across Aspen Street.
Well,
the Bible says that whom God loves, He disciplines. He chastens. And that if God doesn't beat you behind every once in a while, you're not really His child.
Keep on preaching.
See, when my dad beat my butt, I could tell. Some kids we have on the bus can't stand what they need. I'm serious. And here's the sad thing about it. Because because they didn't get straightened out at home, they get in dysfunctional relationships. And it really shows up in the next kind of love, which is called eros, which is what is the basis for what we call erotic love. Now, I want to put this right. You should start off with your mom and dad learning that love like Father Carl was talking about. And that will lead you to healthy friendships, godly people that will strengthen the values you got at home. And then you can find a special person like George Tom Clare.
Amen.
And God will give y'all a special passion for each other. The joy of drinking water from your own spring. And enjoying the wife and husband of your youth. Huh? You don't have to worry about herpes and AIDS and all of these things when you're living right. Hello. You don't have to worry about dysfunctional kids because you have storge love. You have philia love. This eros, which is an intimacy that should only be in marriage if it's done that way. Amen. It will give a good cornerstone to building a storge and philia in your kid's life. The saddest thing that I ever see happen are kids that are raised up in church and they had good storge and good philia, and because they think they're missing something because everybody else is out here having sex, they get involved in a relationship that messes up their life. Because a wine drunk before its time is bitter to the taste.
That's right.
I have a bus full of kids that are children of children. Of people that don't have a storge love. Mom and dad wasn't there. They don't even know who dad is. They never seen dad. Any man that's in their mom's life, they hear negative things about men all the time. And so when Mike and I as men get on the bus, especially me as a man of color, they never heard anything good about black men. And I'm talking about black kids. They're going to give me the hardest time of anybody. But you know who they will always listen to? Bit Mama. Bit Mama is a living example of storge. Bit Mama is a living example of philia. Coach, you deal with it all the time. I heard you. You go into these homes of your football players, and there's crap vials on the floor, and kids are worrying about being raped on the way to school. Right here in Fairfield. We ain't got to even go a couple of blocks for what I'm talking about, am I right?
That's right.
We don't even have to go 10 minutes from what we're talking about. Because these kids don't have storge, philia, and they're using eros in the wrong way, they have no value of their life and other people's life, and they will just kill each other. Girls will be 20, 21 years old, and they don't even want a man to touch them again in their life, and they start having eros relationships with other women. This is how I've responded. I've had to go and minister in these homes. I am not guessing about what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I can give you name, dates, places, and people. See, we go out and we're dealing with people, and we can't minister to them effectively because, number one, we don't want to get real with ourselves. How can I take the speck out of your eye until I get the log out of mine?
Amen.
I can't see how to help you until I help yourself. And I had people telling me that. My pastor, Dr. Lightfoot, used to say all the time, physician, heal thyself. You know, I'm too focused on what's wrong with the other folks to realize there's something wrong with me. Hello. And it wasn't until I suffered a divorce and I wasn't going to be able to be a pastor no more. And I lost my little six-figure income. And all of my little friends from church that, you know, that could hang out with me as long as everybody in the Southern Baptist Convention thought I was all right, they abandoned me. Oh boy, what are we going to do now? Do you realize that one of the greatest ministries that nobody likes to talk about, one of the dirty little secrets of Christian life, are all the shipwrecked pastors and families out here? People that have gone out here and given everything that they had to God and failed. And they can't get past their failure. And I was stuck there. To that little fella right there. Hello. See, I'm 52 years old. And my dad has to take me out in the garage area there and have a talk with me. See, there are things that only your natural parent can speak into you.
Amen.
Amen. And if you don't know who your natural parent is, that is going to be a void. But the good news is today that you have a friend. And that gets us to the fourth love, agape love, which is that love that God has for you. I want to describe agape love this way, if y'all let me get away with it. Y'all let me get away with it, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's a love that will always love you to your advantage.
That's right.
If you really go back to the garden with Adam and Eve, wasn't it for God to come in the breezy part of the day and get these two folks that don't did him wrong? And how God had to get that through to my thick skull, because I'm even slower than the archbishop. If the archbishop is slow, oh boy. I'm a TI-84 to his Windows 8, you know what I mean? I'm real ancient. And one day I was upset about something. And Loretta will tell you, it takes something to get next to me. But boy, when something get next to me, I'm not a happy camper. And I'm praying to God. And you know what God said to me? Now I'm going to tell you the real God I know. Now you know how I feel. I said, what? And he didn't stutter. He said it to me again. Now you know how I feel. Now you know how I felt at the Garden of Eden. Now you know how I feel every time you don't listen to me. You just give them a little taste of it, Michael. Boy, I'm a man of unclean lips. In the year King Uzziah died, I seen God lifted up high and holy, and his train filled the temple. That was the day me and God got real. Yeah. It happens in a relationship sometimes with a father and a son. I'm kind of smelling this up. And dad has to do like Richard Pryor say, hit him in the chest so hard that he like wants to grab onto it and hope it don't come back out because it hurts so bad. Gotta get that understanding. Who's in charge here? Because it's not optional. Every knee shall bow. It's not optional. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It is going to happen. Every atheist that's so confident on the television is going to bow somewhere, I think the bishop gave us a great, beautiful picture when he told us a truth. We all are going to live eternally. You're either going to be in heaven in eternity with God, or you're going to be in hell eternally.
That's right.
But understand, God is willing to do his part in eternity. Jeremiah 29:11 says, and young brother Attleboro was reading that flip side of Jeremiah. But even after God let them suffer like that, he said, I know the plan I have for you. And they're for the good and not for the bad. Jesus says in John 15:13, no greater love has anyone than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. At some point, I realized over 2,000 years ago, God looked down through eternity and saw me. Hello. I want you to get it this morning. God has looked down through eternity and saw you. And he took every sin, every habit, every bad thing about you. He took it upon himself and died on a cross. It's his now. If you're smart enough to give it to him. I tell you, when I turned it over to the Lord and let him work it out, when I still started throwing my hands up. Hello.
Yes.
Life is going a lot better for me. Yeah, I've gone through some tough times. Went through a divorce. Went through a bankruptcy. Had my little midlife crisis. Hello. And the reason that I can say it's a little midlife crisis is because though it's big to me, it ain't nothing to God. I learned that what I can't deal with, he's big enough to handle. Hello. Only I'm trying to do now is to learn to trust and obey. I stand this morning to encourage you to do what the Shema says. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one God. You must love him. And the way you got to love him is with everything you are. All of your mind, all of your body, all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your talents, all of your abilities.
Amen.
I ask you to develop a new habit in your life. Put God first. After you do your little morning constitutional, get up. I challenge you to get up 15 minutes early. Just 15 minutes early. And get that 15 minutes to God. Don't have any agenda. I heard it. Somebody say today. Reach a point where you quit just telling God what you want. And say, God, what do you want for me? Why did you give your life on the cross for me? Why did you give me this day of life? I don't want to complain about being old. I don't want to complain about being in pain. I don't want to complain about not having a father. I don't want to complain about my mother. I don't want to complain about racial issues. I'm not concerned with the cares of the world. I'm interested in knowing why in the world you gave me another day of life.
Amen.
You are my concern. You are my focus. If you make it plain to me what to do today, and I do it, I'm not even going to worry about the consequences.
Amen.
Only thing I want is to know what to do and the strength and ability and the opportunity to do it with everything that I can do it with, and the rest is up to you. Give them the first 15 minutes of the day. You're going to find that time growing. Keep doing what you're doing today. Giving him the first day of every week. I got news for you. It don't matter what church you go to. Hello. Just give it to God. Don't worry about what folks got to say about you. They ain't got a hell to put you in or a hell to keep you out of. Every last one of them just jacked up as you are. You got a chance to go to church and get right with God. Go to church expecting for God to give you an opportunity to get right with him. Take that opportunity. Leave them other folks to worry about their own stuff. I remember one of my instructors in military school. He was a preacher. God will use people to reach out to you. And he cleared the whole classroom and made me stay. I'll never forget. And Father Don, he put a dot on a clean blackboard. And he said, "Edmund Mitchell, come here." And I came and I stood at attention. He said, "Tell me about this blackboard." I said, "Sir, there is a spot on the blackboard." He said, "That's right, Edmund Mitchell. And that's exactly your problem." "Sir," he says, "you are a very good electronics technician. You're an ace troubleshooter. But that's your problem. I'm a lot like my buddy Rick here. I'm in my head. And I'm thinking. And I'm analytical. And I'm very good at drilling down to that dot on the board. And that's the problem. I'm missing all the nice clean board because I'm a spot guy. I'm so hung up on the spots in my life and the spots in other people that I'm missing all the good that God is doing in my life. I'm missing all the good people and all the good things that are going on in life because I'm focused on this one problem." But ever since the Garden of Eden, I promise you, in our fallen nature, we're going to create problems for ourselves, and we're going to be in relationship with other people that got issues, and it's going to be just all sorts of mess on the board. Mike and I deal with it every day. We drive 90-some inner-city kids every day. And I started looking for the good. And you know, you can find good in somebody and tell them the good about themselves. And they say, "Really? There's some good in me? Get out of here." And in that is a secret about the gospel. Y'all ready for it? God is able to supersede all of your lack of thorge, philia, eros, and agape. Amen. God is able to, by the blood of Jesus, cover your sin. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians, that once you come into this relationship with God, you're a new creature. All those problems you had in your life, you're done with them.
Amen.
God is taking them on the cross. You got a new opportunity. And here's the good part about it. It's a fist fight. Because all power in heaven and earth is on your side. Yeah. The greatest failure in human history was when God became a man, came back to his people, this little insignificant nation that he was trying to use to show the world how good he was, and they preferred Baal and all Asherah and everybody else. They missed it too. They missed it so much that they killed the very person that God sent for them. Hello. But you and I, right here in Fairfield on Gary Avenue this morning, have an opportunity. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your habits have been to right now. I'm a living example that God can wipe that slate clean. And we need to tell that to these people out here. Quit complaining about white folks' prejudice. Quit complaining that you don't have a daddy. Quit complaining that you're born in Fairfield. Quit complaining that you got a bad school system. Realize that you have access to God Almighty. And that there's nothing too hard for God. That all things are possible to him that believes. That was the moment that I got it. When I realized God is for me. God loves me. Boy, when Father Carl said that the first time, I'll never forget. God ain't mad at you. What? God loves you. And then Father Terry started talking about how relentless this love is. And Father Carl's been telling me about all this love, 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 love. And that little Berean in me. You know, they were more nose-minded than those that's a knocker. Because they went and checked it out for themselves. So as I get ready to take my seat, I issue you this challenge. Go study to show thyself approved unto God. Go ahead and work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. God's done his part. He's come down through 42 generations. He's died on the cross. That better life he wants, it's there. That deeper relationship with God, he wants it too. He showed it. He comes in the breezy part of the day looking for you. He showed it. You know, I told Loretta I wasn't going to share this, but I just... She said, why not? So I guess I'll listen. I said, what really kind of messed me up was when I realized that God wants things for me more than I want them for myself. That humiliated me. That there's people out here that want something good for me more than I want it for myself. What is wrong with me? And I finally just had to get on my knees and say, God, there's something seriously wrong with me. And I want to take ownership of this. I want to be free from it. And the Archbishop came and gave us a great opportunity. And I didn't wait till Tuesday. I just got mine Sunday night. When the Archbishop say, hey, if you want all that God has for you, you can have it. Man, I was like, come on, man, quit looking at this. Quit messing with this thing right up now. Let's get up here behind your hand.
Yes.
I've been feeling better ever since. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know who holds my future. And I'm accepting what the Archbishop told me. He told me God's going to shock me. Yeah. I want to be shocked. I want that prayer life that John had in Revelation. You know, he's on the alcohol Patmos. And I want a prayer life that I don't fall asleep, because I've had 50-something years of having a prayer life that I get down on my bed, you know, I put the TV on mute, on the commercial, you know, during the Tonight Show. Our Father, which art in heaven, I was going to name that, whatever, let's do it. I got 3 minutes to get this thing done, so I can fulfill all righteousness, you know what I'm saying? I'm ready for something real.
Amen.
If God says it in the Word, I want to be a living embodiment of that. And I want to thank all of y'all. I want to thank you for accepting me, Loretta. For loving God. For being open and transparent and letting me know that I'm not the only one struggling. You know, because it's hard when you're a preacher. You know, you're supposed to always have it together. And even your wife will tell you, you're supposed to be a preacher. I heard that last night. I did. Not from my wife, but from this little old lady. I mean, I was drinking water all day, wasn't I, Uncle Don? And my foot got caught up in the rug, and there was a chair in the RV. We was out at the Classic. And when my foot got caught, I tried to back up, and there was a chair, and I stumbled, and she said, look at you. You're supposed to be a preacher. Yeah! It's tough to know you're imperfect. Christ ain't shed no more blood for me. I I'm anointed to do the speaking thing and do the Eucharist and that kind of stuff. But, you know, everybody I like, I got just some special extra something given to me that they ain't got available to them. And they're going to hold me to that. But you haven't done that. You made me feel very comfortable. You made me feel loved. And I've been able to call some of you on the phone and just share things that I'm struggling with. And y'all been real good, especially Brother Rick back there, breaking my face. And that's good. That's a real friend. They can tell you, hey, man, ain't nothing happening to you, some of that was coming with me. Is that all that's bugging you? Man, that's refreshing. You know, preachers don't have real conversations with people. I'm sorry, they don't sit down, but it's true. Everybody's get up and tell you all this good holy moly stuff. You hear from everybody. You know, every once in a while, you like to just be able to tell people, man, this stuff you come to me talking about, I don't know how to help you because I'm dealing with the same thing. I figured it out for myself.
That's right.
And I was able to do that this morning. And I feel better now.
My guess is it won't be